You know, we live in a world that's obsessed with the news. We read the news, we watch the news, we follow the news closely because we don't want to miss out on anything going out or going on in our world or in our life. Listen, unfortunately, not all news is real news. Sometimes the word on the street is fake news. And believe it or not, fake news didn't begin in this administration. Fake news has been going on for a very long time. If you were to go back a couple thousand years ago to the city of Jerusalem, you would have seen Jesus hanging on a cross at a place called Golgotha, the place of the skull. Now, he wasn't crucified on top of the hill like many of us have heard. He would have been crucified at the bottom of the hill next to the main road so that the majority of the people could get close to him and have access to him where they could spit on him and curse his name as they passed. He also wouldn't have been wearing a loincloth like many of us have grown up seeing pictures. It would have been customary for Jesus to be crucified on that cross completely naked. It was the Roman custom because they were so committed to inflicting as much pain and humiliation as possible. Jesus died a brutal death on the cross. And he was buried in a borrowed tomb just a couple hundred yards away. And the news story of that day was simply this. Jesus Christ is dead and gone. Never to be seen again. Never to be heard from again. Maybe even never to be thought of again. The King of the Jews, the Savior of the world, the man who's been going all around town claiming to be the Son of Almighty God is dead. That was the news story of the day. But can I share something with you? That was fake news. The real news story of the day was this. Jesus did shed his blood. Jesus did die on a cross. Jesus was placed in a borrowed tomb. But the real news of the day was that on the third day, Jesus Christ rose again, and he is alive today and forevermore. Can we just celebrate that in this place today? Because Jesus is who he says he is, and because Jesus did what he said he would do, the devil doesn't get the last word in my life. And my prayer is that he won't have the last word in your life either. Guilt doesn't get the last word. Shame doesn't get the last word. Affliction, humiliation, pain, not even death gets the last word in my life. And can I tell you why? It's because Jesus had the last word and he said, "It is finished." As he hung on the cross, he uttered seven different sayings, but those were his last words. He said, "It is finished." Last words are meant to be lasting words. They're often spoken with a sacred sense of power and meaning and significance. And the last words of our Savior on the cross were no different. You see, when he spoke these last words, they were intended to be a final message that would transcend to the end of time. When Jesus spoke these words, the prophecies had been fulfilled and redemption was now complete. So understand, when Jesus spoke the words, "It is finished," he wasn't saying, "I am finished." He wasn't even saying, "My life is now over." Jesus was saying, "Your life can now begin." We read the text from John chapter 19, beginning in verse 28. It says, "After this, when Jesus knew that everything was now finished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, 'I'm thirsty.' A jar full of sour wine was sitting there. So they fixed a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it up to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' Then bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." Some of the biggest events in our lives are captured with single words or short phrases. Like a simple yes to the question, "Will you marry me?" Or how about the phrase, "I do," in response to the question, "Will you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife?" Or how about your name being announced at graduation, or getting a phone call that said, "You got the job," or hearing the words, "I'm pregnant," or "It's a boy," or "It's a girl." Or how about the first time you heard those first three syllables, "I love you," spoken from the mouth of the one you love. Small statements can carry a huge worth of meaning. But never before in the history of mankind has more been communicated through just one single spoken word than the spoken word that Jesus uttered on the cross. You see, the last word anyone would have heard that day is the word tetelestai. I want you to say that word with me. Ready? Tetelestai. One more time. Tetelestai, meaning it is finished. That word tetelestai in the Greek, it was a recognizable term at the time of Christ. It was a term that was commonly used by merchants in the marketplace, meaning the price is all paid. Servants, when reporting to their master at the end of a workday, would use this word tetelestai to indicate that the work is done. I've done what had to be done. I've accomplished what had to be accomplished. People in this day would shop on a credit system in the marketplace, and vendors would use this word tetelestai when someone paid their tab and no longer owed anything. They would scream tetelestai, meaning your debt has been completely paid. Jesus also uses that word because in the same way, he knew every single one of us, every single sinner walking the face of the earth accumulates a debt that has to be paid, a debt that we're unable to pay. And because of our sin and because of our rebellion, we have a punishment that has to be made. And so the Bible tells us the reason is because God is a holy God and he's perfect and he hates sin and he cannot tolerate sin in his presence. That's exactly why Adam and Eve were removed from the garden. It was because of the sin in their life. But understand, many years ago on a cross, Jesus died a sin that we deserved and he paid a penalty that we couldn't pay and he took our punishment upon himself and in doing so, he canceled our sin once and for all. We got to get this today. The blood of Jesus didn't just come to cover our sin. The blood of Jesus came to cancel our sin. There's a big difference between the two. You can take a left on in your Bible and you can go to the Old Testament and what you'll see is time after time, people would take animals, beautiful, perfect animals, and they would slaughter them and they would sacrifice them and they would take the blood from those animals and they would use it to cover the sins of the people. But then in a couple more pages, you'll see them doing it again. They'll sacrifice more animals and more animals and more animals and they'll take more blood and more blood because they would continue to sin over and over again. But now you turn the page to the New Testament and Jesus says, it is finished, meaning my blood has been shed and my blood is way different than the blood of these animals. He said, my blood has been shed and the sacrifice that was necessary to cancel sin once and for all has been made. You go to the book of Genesis chapter 3 and what you see is our relationship with God was severed. In Genesis chapter 3, our relationship with God was destroyed in the garden. But the death of Jesus made it possible for you and I to be in relationship with God once again. Because of Christ, God's wrath towards our sin was completely satisfied, and the blood of Jesus paid our debt once and for all. You see, because the blood of Jesus, even sinners like me, can be seen as righteous in the eyes of God. His blood not only covers my sin, it cancels it. That's why Paul says in Romans 5:9, how much more then, since we have now been declared righteous by his blood, will we be saved through him from wrath? It's because each one of us owed a debt that we couldn't pay. And so when Jesus said, it is finished, he was saying that debt that you couldn't pay has been paid in full. And Jesus offered compensation with his blood. And in doing so, he cleared a path so that sinners like us can get to a holy God. That's why it's called grace. It's because salvation isn't something that is earned. Salvation is something that was accomplished. He accomplished that with his death and his blood and his resurrection. He said, it is finished. It is accomplished. Salvation is now possible. You don't have to live in sin any longer. You don't have to be bound in bondage any longer. You now have the opportunity to run in freedom, living the abundant life that God wants you to live. Jesus said, "It is finished." And when he uttered those final words and took his final breath, and when he raised from the grave to show that he was who he said he was, he accomplished something. And he allowed us in that moment to truly live. Do you get that? Listen, when Jesus died, he conquered sin. But when he rose again, he defeated death once and for all. That's what Easter is all about. You say, so what's the real news today? Can I tell you? The real news is this. The resurrection of Jesus rescued me. Therefore, I can live redeemed. If you know Christ today, I want you to say that with boldness and confidence today. Are you ready? The resurrection of Jesus rescued me. Therefore, I can live redeemed. You may be sitting here thinking, man, what does that word redeemed really mean? When you look at that word redeemed in the original language, you'll see that in the Latin, it comes from a root meaning to buy back, to buy something back. When you look at it in the Greek, it comes from a root word meaning to set free or to loose. It's what is used to refer to someone being set free from prison or slavery or chains or bondage. And so to be redeemed is when Jesus buys us back and he sets us free and we get to experience a whole new kind of freedom that we've never experienced before. But you and I both know that freedom always comes at a cost. And in this case, the price for our freedom was the death of Jesus. When he cried out that last word and when he breathed that last breath, he was essentially saying, I've done everything necessary to buy my people back, to set them free, to break the chains of sin and bondage that have them in captivity. I've done everything that needed to be done. To tetelestai, it is finished. I've done what had to be done to deliver my kids out of darkness and to rescue them from the prison that they've been in and to set them free in the glorious light of who I am and to allow them to run in freedom like they've never experienced before. To tetelestai, it is finished. That's what Easter is all about. And can I tell you, because it is finished, even you can live redeemed. Even I can live redeemed. Because it is finished, your life can now begin. Here's what I wonder today. Who in this room says, I'm ready for my life, my real abundant life, my true life in Christ. I'm ready for that life to begin today. I am so sick and tired. I am tired of living in chains and bondage. I'm tired of trying to do this all by myself. I need a Savior. I need a living God to come into my life and to give me what I need to live the life that God's called me to live. I'm tired of settling for less than God's best in my life, and I'm ready to take a step of faith and to trust him today. I just wonder who in this place today, or who of you watching this today, would say, I'm ready for those last words, it is finished, to count for me. Would you bow your heads? Would you just have a moment with the Lord? Listen, with nobody leaving or moving around for any reason, here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you to give the Lord freedom to speak to your heart in the next few minutes. Would you just tell him, Lord, if you have something to say to me, I'm all ears. You say, why is Easter such a big deal? It's a big deal because of what we read in Romans chapter 3. Romans 3 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. That means we can't get to God on our own because of the sin in our life. You remember that sin created a debt so great that we would never be able to pay it if we lived a million lifetimes. Romans 6 talks about that. It says, for the wages of sin is death. The wage is what you earn because of the sin in your life. And it says, what we've earned is death. That's what we deserve. That word death, it's not talking about a physical death. All of us are gonna physically die. That word death's talking about a spiritual death. And it says, because we have sin in our life and a debt that we cannot pay, we deserve to be eternally separated from the God who created us and loves us. That's what we deserve. But thank God that verse continues on, and it goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In other words, because of Jesus, because of what happened on Easter, we can be saved. Even sinners like us. And we can live eternally in a real place called heaven. And we can have hope today. We can live our life today with assurance, forgiven. We can experience salvation and freedom unlike anything we can imagine. And yet some of us hear that and we still believe that we can do this without Christ. We can get to heaven on our own. There are some that believe, man, if I can just be religious enough or good enough, or if I can be moral enough or generous enough, surely at the end of my life, I can get to heaven without having to give my life to Christ. See, that mindset's been going on for a really long time. In fact, it talks about it in Proverbs 14. It says, there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. It doesn't work. The Bible tells us there's only one way for us to get to God. 1 Timothy chapter 2 talks about it. It says there's one God and there's one mediator between God and man. It's the man Christ Jesus. You want to know how to get to heaven? The Bible tells you over and over again, but Jesus even told you. He said, I'll show you the way. In John 14, he said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Nobody's going to get to the Father except through me. So if you want to get to heaven, if you want to be saved, listen, you have to go through Jesus. You have to receive Jesus. John chapter 1 talks about it. It says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And you know what? It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. Honestly, it doesn't matter if you've been to church a million times or if this is the first time you've ever darkened the door of a church. God's word says that he loves you right where you are today. He loves you so much, he was willing to send his one and only son to the cross to die for you, to pay the debt that you couldn't pay, so that you could have a relationship with him today. You say, well, how do I do that? Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you not might be, you will be saved. So I just wonder, who in this place today, on this beautiful Easter morning, says, that's what I want. I want a relationship with God. I want to know him. I never want to have a question mark next to my eternity. I want to solidify it once and for all and step into a relationship with a God that loves me today. I want to turn away from my sin and turn to him as my one and only hope. Listen, there may be somebody here today that says, that's me. That's where I'm at. Would you just tell him that today? Say, man, I don't know what to say. Tell you what, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And if that's your heart today, I want this to be your prayer. Now, it's not a magic prayer. The prayer alone won't save you. But if your heart echoes what these words are going to say, I believe the God of heaven will step into your heart and change you forevermore. So if that's you today, just say this to the Lord. Say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I have messed up time and time again. I have rebelled against you and done my own thing. I have pursued things that I shouldn't have pursued. And I know that. And today, as best I know how, God, I am turning away from my sin. And I'm turning to you as my one and only hope. I love you, and I believe that you are who you said you are. I believe you lived a perfect life, died a brutal death. I believe you rose again, and you are alive today. And so, God, I'm asking you as a living God to come into my life and to change me from the inside out. And give me the courage to live for you and follow you all the days of my life. Lord, I pray I will never be ashamed of you, not today or any other day. I want to live my life for you, beginning right now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. These words can count for you. It is finished. Because of Jesus, because of our risen Savior, the joy of Easter belongs to all of us, to all of us who follow Him. Did you spend a minute with the Lord just a second ago? Let us know. We want to help you as you begin this journey with Christ. And if you're in the Cleveland area, we'd love to meet you at one of our weekend services or hear from you personally this week. Connect with us online where you can find out more about First Baptist Cleveland or get resources to help you as you follow Christ. Thanks for joining us for this Easter broadcast today. Be here next week as we open up God's Word and begin a brand new message series entitled Wisdom. Until next time, happy Easter.